Welcome to Maryland Solutions with Reverend Maryland, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Maryland as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Maryland.
So glad to have you here today and welcome. I'm glad that you're inside joining this beautiful day, but listening to the show. So if you are outside, that's great too. You get all the benefits of our beautiful sunshine that's going on recently for our summer. Today we have a special treat. Dr. Mona Gustafson Affinito, author of When to Forgive, is here. And she's going to be talking with us from her town in Minnesota. She has written a wonderful book, and we also happen to have a free copy here today if you're interested in forgiveness and finding out more about that. I recommend her book heartily. And if you'd like to receive a copy, you can call in and ask for your copy, or you can call in with your questions and comments about forgiveness today. Our phone numbers are Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. And if you're calling from King County, it's toll-free. Just pick up your phone, 253-804-5765. 253-804-5765. I want everyone to know how much I appreciate STOP, Social Treatment Opportunity Programs, for sponsoring this show today. They are here to help you with your needs, and in between our breaks, you'll hear more about what they can do and help you and provide if you happen to have that DWI or need court help with a domestic violence problem. They have assessments, treatment, and many different outlets in Western Washington. So it's not just Tacoma, Puyallup, Aberdeen, Shelton, other areas besides that. So call and find out what the one closest to you is, and they'll be glad to help you. Now I'd like to introduce Dr. Mona Gustafson Affinito. She is Professor Emeritus Psychology at Southern Connecticut State University, where she taught general personality development and social psychology for 29 years, specializing in 1970 in psychology of women. She was elected department chair for 7 years, and she has been practicing practicing therapist for 25 years. Now she's practicing in Shaska. Is that how you say it, Mona?
That's it, Shaska, Minnesota.
Thank you for your help. And a member of the faculty of Adler Graduate School.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
You can tell that I've been around a while, can't you?
That's okay. I think wisdom comes in there when you have been. And I certainly read some of yours. Mona has developed a specialty in the understanding of forgiveness. She is a sought-after lecturer and presents workshops to secular and non-secular groups and provides forgiveness counseling to individuals. And in finding out more about her books and reading her books this last week, I came across some wonderful quotes, and I really do endorse some of these quotes, in fact, all of them. Some of the ones I'd like to share is amazingly practical and insightful guidance. I thought that was a good one. And another person wrote, this is the best, most thoroughly considered, most releasing book about forgiveness I've ever read. It's a gift for the heart and mind. And she also sent me a bookmark. And on the top of that, I love what you wrote, Mona. To err is human. To forgive is practical.
That's right.
So you have such valuable information today. We want to get right into asking you some questions. And hopefully this will spark some listeners that if they have questions too that they want to find out more about, we can have them call and you can talk with them. First of all, how did you come to write about forgiveness, Mona?
Well, you know, my job as a professor and as a therapist was to do my best to help people to live full, productive, and healthy lives. And one of the best ways to do that is to be able to forgive the offenses that we suffer.
Well, I think that's right. And forgiveness is a word sometimes misunderstood. What do you mean when you define forgiveness as doable?
Oh, well, is forgiveness ever misunderstood? I mean, people think it means that you say, oh, it's okay that the person did that you exonerate them. What it really is the decision not to punish or to cease punishing when the goal has been accomplished. oh my, that word punishment. But, you know, it requires that we recognize that someone or someone's have done something wrong, and we do what we can to prevent that kind of thing happening in the future. Now, the reason punishment comes into forgiveness is that one of the first things we want to do when we're hurt is get back at the hurtful one. We want to get vengeance. Vengeance is not the same as punishment. Let's wipe that right off the slate to begin with, although I'm happy to talk more about it. About forgiveness is the decision that we're not going to go on punishing. And sometimes we're punishing ourselves after we've been hurt, or sometimes we're punishing the other person by, we think we're punishing them anyway, by not speaking or by avoiding them or that kind of thing. And forgiveness is the decision not to do that. But it's not an easy decision.
Well, it's difficult, I found, to come into saying, I can accept this behavior happened, but I don't have to like it.
Oh, I don't have to like it, and I don't have to allow it to continue.
Exactly.
Well, one of the places where that's most obvious is in the case of battered spouses, so many of whom stay in the relationship because they have come to believe that they have to tolerate anything if they're going to be forgiving. And that absolutely is not the essence of forgiveness.
Well, in fact, I was in one of those situations, and he used to use forgiveness against me and say, you owe me an apology. And I was pretty naive in those days, obviously. I discovered later I needed a lot of life skills to leave. And but at that time, that was a terrific way to keep me in line.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're bombarded by the forgiveness message, especially if we attend churches. And we're told that we have to forgive, a very shaming thing to tell us, by the way, and very impractical. We don't have to forgive and stay in the relationship. We don't have to forgive and think that means that we have to continue to be battered. No, that's not what it means.
I appreciate your saying that. I think people need to hear today a much more clear and compassionate understanding about what forgiveness entails. And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I just think that so many of us have not heard a better definition like you offer us about forgiveness.
Well, I wanted to say that when I got interested in forgiveness specifically, it was 1986, and I thought I was all ready to write the book. But because I'm a trained psychologist, I said, well, I have to examine this in depth. And that's when I realized that forgiveness is a very complex thing. It's not simple. And, yes, it's very often used as a weapon against people who have been battered psychologically or in other ways. It's complicated. But what I've tried to do in my book is not to tell people what it is. I mean, I do have the definition in there on the basis of which we work. But what I've tried to do in my book is help people reach their own conclusions about what they want to do in their own situation. I do not say you must write a letter to the person who offended you. In fact, that's often a bad idea. I do not give instructions. At least you've read the book. I hope I'm accurate about that.
Right.
I help to guide people in making their own decisions about what they're going to do.
One of the things I thought you brought out well was there's some old myths about forgiveness, and I thought you might share a couple of those because people sometimes think that those are really what they should be hearing or adhering to.
Well, of course, one of the oldest is the idea that to forgive is to condone, and that's absolutely false. Forgiveness only starts when you really identify that someone has done something wrong. And that, by the way, that's the first step, you know. Sometimes when we're hurt, the other person hasn't really done something wrong. And if we think about it, we may realize that we're just being hypersensitive. Then it's not a forgiveness issue. Then it's an issue of why am I so easily hurt? But real forgiveness begins with actually accusing, not absolving. And, you know, there's another one. You've really already talked about it, but there's the idea that the best way to bring about forgiveness is to shame the person into forgiving.
Right.
That's what our churches have done for years.
I agree.
In fact, when I first got interested in forgiveness, I was talking to a wonderful former pastor of mine, very practical man, who said, you know, the church is awfully good at guilt, but we're not at all good at forgiveness.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to look at it.
And that's the problem, because we think it's a must-do. It isn't. It's a choice. And we can choose not to forgive. That's why I fought for that title, When to Forgive. They wanted me to call it something like The Miracle of Forgiveness.
Oh.
No, it's not The Miracle of Forgiveness. It's the decision, and it's the decision of when you want to do it, if you want to do it.
Well, the decision is so important when it comes from the heart, because if, like you were said so often, we're just told to forgive, then it's a head trip. And it really doesn't bring the results that, of course, we're expecting. And we say, well, what's wrong with this picture? I forgave them.
Yeah, right. I can remember a couple of my nephews fighting and coming back inside. And the mom said, look, I want you to apologize. And so one said to the other, okay, I'm sorry. And then they went out to play and they came back in fighting again. And one said to the other, well, I said I'm sorry. I mean, we see that on the adult level all the time, don't we?
Yes.
And it's not, that's not genuine forgiveness.
No.
Just saying it is not forgiveness. Another myth, by the way, Marilyn, that I'd like to touch on is the idea that forgiveness is for the person that you forgive. And yes, the person you forgive may possibly, very likely, gain. But the only person who's guaranteed to gain by forgiving is the forgiver.
That's for sure. We want you to call in with your comments and questions on forgiveness, or maybe get a copy of her When to Forgive. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. Stay tuned and we'll find out about that biblical saying, an eye for an eye. How real is that in today's living experience? So don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We have today a treat. We have Dr. Mona Gustafson-Affinito and her book, When to Forgive. And we're clarifying right now what forgiveness is about and some of the old sayings that we've heard in the past, such as an eye for an eye. And while I just mentioned that, our program director told me, Mona, I thought that was rather humorous. He said, an eye for an eye only makes the whole world blind, and that's what
Well, he just stole my line.
That he said was from Gandhi.
Yes, it is. It's from Gandhi. That's right.
Well, before we move on, Mona, I would like to announce to my listeners that on July 30th at 3:30 in the afternoon on the Public Access Channel, Channel 77 in King County, I will be appearing on the program called Ascending with Angels. And I'll be sharing my experiences and also my art of my angel experiences and those I've talked to passed over. If you are interested, I thought it turned out to be a lovely program. July 30th at 3:30 on Channel 77. Please tune in and then you'll even get to see what I look like. And if you are interested in sponsoring this program, please call me for details. It's a reasonable way to get your message out about your services, your business, and how you're out there helping people in the public. 8 commercials a week for a minimum cost, and your commercial can be made free. So do call me, 253-845-4907. And for those people that sometimes miss this show for whatever reason, I have a friend that goes out gardening in the middle of the day, and she'll say, oh, I forgot to come in and get your show. And I do have copies of tapes and CDs for you listeners who have a particular program you missed, or any from way back when we first started. They're all listed on, or I can get those to you on email. My webpage with the listing of them isn't up and available quite yet, but we're getting there. So if you do have a tape or program that you're wanting to purchase for only $10 plus shipping and handling, which for today, if you're buying a CD, that is a bargain. You can still have that program or that topic. You can even start to collect and have your own library of the topics we have on the air every Wednesday. Each one has been different. We have had wonderful, informative, inspirational, all kinds of wisdom on this show from wonderful people. And you might want to have a variety of those in your collection to go back and listen at various times. And now's your chance. So please take advantage of that. And if you want the listing of the programs or to particularly, I have a particular one you're interested in, you can reach me at Marilyn at angelicasgifts.com. M-A-R-I-L-Y-N at angelicasgifts is one word, A-N-G-E-L-I-C-A-S-G-I-F-T-S.com. Also, if you're interested in the listing of the classes I'll be teaching this September, you can reach me by email at that same address or my webpage, which is angelicasgifts.com. So I would like to hear from you and know that you're out there. I did have started doing some counseling on the internet if you're interested, and that is available, and you can contact me about doing that if you don't live close enough. So that's an exciting thing. In fact, I had one from Australia yesterday. That was exciting. So do keep in touch, and we can help you out any way you can possibly think of, hopefully. Now, Mona, let's get back to our miss here. What about that eye for an eye?
Oh, I'm so glad you got back to that, because I think that's one of the most destructively misunderstood phrases. Actually, in the Hebrew Testament, an eye for an eye was introduced not to demand that we take vengeance, but it was actually instituted to reduce the punishment that we invoke on people. It was saying, don't take any more than an eye for an eye. Keep it balanced, as compared to the much more extreme punishment that was advocated before. But also, one of the things I think that's most inappropriate, illogical, that is people who say, I'm a Christian, and therefore I believe in an eye for an eye, because it's not a Christian statement. And Jesus, if those of you who are Christian are listening, actually contradicted that and introduced the concept of forgiveness. Jesus was a very practical guy. And forgiveness is a very practical thing. So the notion of an eye for an eye is destructive because, well, I'll tell you, when you take vengeance on somebody, they don't say, gee, thanks for that, I needed that. They think now they owe it back to you. And, boy, do we see this in international events, in families. It goes on and on and on. So the notion of an eye for an eye is destructive.
Well, I've seen that destructive behavior kind of like in a poker game, the ante raises. And you've got to stop the game somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, well said.
What are the three types of justice that you talk about that apply to forgiveness?
Okay, I'm not going to go into them all, but I have added to my types of justice.
Oh.
Oh, it's a very complex issue. But there are three that I'd like to mention. The first is retributive justice. That's tit-for-tat justice. You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you back. The focus is totally on what's happened in the past. You never move on to the future with that. Another word for it is vengeance. And we see it at all levels. The family member who has never forgiven her sister because she stole her boyfriend away when they were teenagers, to what happens internationally. Then there's restorative justice, a very important movement, which starts with an offense, and instead of focusing on the punishment and vengeance, focusing on how things can be improved for the future. And the word restore is very important. You know, once someone has suffered an offense, you never can go back to where you were. The balance is forever thrown. So the result of restorative justice is that you move on to something better. The other kind of justice, which I think is real justice, doesn't really have a name. One of the pastors in my church gave me a suggestion, which I like. She calls it pervasive justice. And that's the kind of justice that focuses on the present and the future. That's the kind of justice that focuses on fairness, equality, to prevent offenses. It's a forward-looking kind of justice.
Well, one of the things I think that means also is to be aware that we don't want to harm others. Even if we've been harmed, it doesn't really produce any good results.
Well, not only that, Marilyn, when we harm others, we also harm ourselves.
Exactly.
That's one of the things I emphasize in the book, When to Forgive, that at every step of the way, you want to be sure you're not damaging your own morality. Or if you want to avoid the word morality for some reason, use the word dignity.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, our own dignity is very important. And when we begin to behave cruelly or unkindly to other people, we lose our dignity.
That's for sure. What step do you suggest we take when we're going to take that first step towards forgiveness?
Well, the very first step is to decide that we want to stop hurting. That's the very first step. But after that, it requires a good, deep examination. Actually, I think, first of all, of ourselves and how we're feeling and what are the pieces that are hurting. What is it tying into for us? I talk about the kind of emergency room, the psychological emergency room that we go into to kind of examine ourselves. In the process, once we've really understood how we're feeling, that's where it starts, then we can move on to understanding how maybe the other person was motivated to do this. What led the other person to do this? That doesn't mean that we use it to excuse the other person. What it does mean is when we're hurt by somebody, especially if it's somebody we don't know, we see that person as completely diabolic. And when you're dealing with the devil, you're dealing with something that you can't handle. But when you begin to understand that other person, you bring that person down to the human level where you belong, and now you're on an equal playing field, and you can work on resolving the problem. Now, I want to real quick say, that doesn't mean you have to reconcile with that person. In fact, that person could even be dead. But what it does mean is that you understand that person as a human being, and he is no longer, or she is no longer so powerful. You gave the example of your own situation. Once you began to realize what was going on, I'll bet, he became less powerful in your life.
Definitely. Definitely. Because to forgive, in my case, I was like, I couldn't not forgive because I didn't want him to keep that power over me. I had to cut the chain and take my power back. And I could only do that by honestly acknowledging this is what happened and this is what my part of it was.
Yep. Excellent. Well put. And I want to say very quickly, back when I didn't even know I was interested in forgiveness as a topic, a woman came in to me and said, I want to forgive my husband. He's had an affair. He's begging me to reconcile. I want to do that. We have a nice family. We're living well. I want to be able to reconcile, but I need your help. And it was really interesting because I asked her to bring her husband in. She asked him, please, to give her all the details of the affair, where he met her, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, he hesitated to do that. But he finally did. I have learned to believe my clients. If that's what they want, it's probably the best thing. And after 12 sessions, she said, well, I'm satisfied. And I realized that what had happened was all that now came down to her level. She could understand it. It was no longer a horrendous evil power over her, but she could deal with it. It was reality.
I read that in your book, that story, and I think that was really terrific because what I'm finding out about forgiveness also is, in my case, oftentimes it's my ego has been damaged and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. And you were talking about understanding the other person and where they're coming from, and I discovered that, oh, yeah, life isn't necessarily going to center on Marilyn. There's a bigger picture involved here. What are all the dynamics? And that's why I liked your book, Mona, because you really looked and analyzed so many aspects about what people's motives are, why are they wanting to do this, what's the purpose, you know, what are they trying to accomplish, and all the different follow-through steps that you took people through in your book, I think, are amazing. I think nobody else, in my experience, and I do counseling, has written something so thorough as you have.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you feel that way. And again, I want to emphasize, you don't understand the person because you want to condone what he or she did.
Well, it's right, but in my case, it was like I could understand their motives and maybe my ego was being damaged when it was something that was not necessarily my running the universe. There was something else going on besides that.
Well, I'll tell you, Marilyn, you can find my story in Chapter 9.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
It's a little, I hope it's a little bit concealed, but I mean, the fact of coming from basically two different cultures, and that doesn't mean two different countries, mm-hmm. but just you have different cultures right mm-hmm. here in the States.
Definitely.
And we start out with different expectations, and we end up angry with the other person, and then the other person is angry with us, and it becomes hell. And it's really important to get it, to understand where that other person is coming from.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, excuse me just a minute, was that I needed to go through the forgiveness process because it actually brought me into more wisdom about myself.
Oh, yes.
And in finding out, yes, there was a bigger picture. Maybe I had my values out of place. Excuse me just a minute. Maybe I had my values out of place. I had put certain things in front of money in front of peace of mind, maybe, uh-huh. in several cases. And I had to relook at the situation and realize maybe in letting it go and not continuing turmoil about the forgiveness was really in my best interest.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about the process, which I do take you through and when to forgive. Because, first of all, it is growth-producing. None of us, you know, there are examples in there of people who have suffered the most horrendous crimes. I mean, members of the family raped and murdered and so on, who have forgiven. None of us would ask to suffer that kind of thing. But for those who have and have gone through the forgiveness process, oh, they are much healthier.
We're on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, somebody apparently picked up a wrong line here at the studio. I'm sorry, Mona.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
My thought got interrupted, Marilyn. Where was I?
Well, we're going to take a break here then and encourage people to call in 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. And call in and get your free book. This is a book you want to keep. This isn't one you just read once and put on the shelf. And this isn't the one you read and give it away to somebody else because they need it. Because you are going to need this over and over if you have a life you're trying to grow and learn more about. So stay tuned. We'll find out about forgiveness for September 11th. What does Mona have to say about that? Don't go away. Solutions. We are here today with Dr. Mona Gustafson Affinito. She has written this terrific book called When to Forgive, and I know you want a copy. It's one of those that you'll cherish for a long time because there is so much in it. You can't really get it all in one reading. It's a book you have to go back over and say, oh, that makes more sense this time. And it kind of sinks in, and gradually you start to grow into her book and start having more and more understanding and a little more wisdom about how all of this works in your life and hopefully makes it more peaceful and comes to a situation where you can better handle your life. And that's what I think we're all trying to get, progress, not always perfection in our lives. And if you are interested in contacting me, my web page is changing to allow for you to make comments in a chat room about this show or my articles that will be on the webpage. I've done a lot of writing, and I'm actually completing a self-help book myself at this point, looking for a publisher, in fact. So I have a list of upcoming classes that will be coming on the webpage and doing counseling, as I mentioned earlier, and coaching on the Internet. So do keep in touch and through my webpage, 253-845-4907 is my phone number. Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com is my webpage. And next week we have Glenn Brooks, and he wants to know how you would like to know it is impossible to fail. If you have problems thinking you're a failure, tune in next week and find out where the illusions are in this word failure, and is it really true that that failure label has to be on us? I don't believe it does, but find out more. And the following week, we have local author of spiritual novelist, Ted Nottingham. And he's going to be in our studios in a couple weeks to share his stories about being a spiritual novelist. He's just recently moved to Kent, Washington, and contacted me, said, I'll get in touch when I actually move to Washington. And he's here now and would like to share his stories with you, too. If you wish to reach me for counseling, classes, private readings for you or your parties, past life regression, or to speak to those passed over, please call me at 253-845-4907. Or if you would like to make a contribution to continue this program on the air, please call me or email me. We are always looking for sponsors for this program so we can continue to bring out these wonderful messages like Dr. Mona Gustafson Affinito is sharing with us today. A lot of information to a lot of people that you might not hear on another radio show, and something that's usually valuable and worthwhile listening to. And now we would like Mona to help us better understand how she sees September 11th.
I'll do that. But first of all, Marilyn, I have to say we have a personal forgiveness issue to deal with.
Oh.
Because those who schedule my interviews have scheduled me for one coming in 10 minutes.
Oh, that's an interview coming in? They've doubled you up?
Well, they didn't. They didn't know it, apparently, because they said ours was going to be from 5 to 30 minutes.
Oh.
And so they scheduled another one.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to have to decide which one of us needs to be forgiven and to forgive hot guests.
My, my. They're in hot soup right now.
There you go.
Well, why don't you decide which you'd like to do?
Well, I am going to have to receive this other one because
yes, you
I'm
are.
Committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be sure that we say what we want to say before I have to cut out of here.
Yes, well, go ahead, Mona.
Okay, and you asked about September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we forgive September 11th? Well, the first thing is we have to realize that forgive does not mean that we accept that it was okay that it happened. Again, the very first step in forgiveness is to accuse, to recognize that this was wrong, more than wrong, it was evil. But then the important thing is to consider what's going to prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future. And I think we have to be very, very careful not to get into a mutual vengeance kind of situation. I know it feels good, and it feels just. But it's there are questions whether it's going to lead to a future where we don't have this kind of thing happening. So, no, we don't forgive it in the sense of condoning it or say that it's okay. But forgiveness is the decision to make a positive, to work at preventing this kind of thing from happening in the future.
Right. Well, I think... go ahead.
There are some people who are really writing about forgiveness. On a broader scale, there's a guy named Shriver who's written An Ethic for Enemies, Forgiveness in Politics. And there's Desmond Tutu who's written a wonderful book, No Future Without Forgiveness, about the use of forgiveness in South Africa, which probably was very important in preventing a terrible civil war there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that more people are getting that message out, and that's what we're about today.
Well, I'm really glad, and I'm heartsick that I can't stay with you for the full hour.
Well, somebody else is going to benefit.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. And I hope that people are going to call in to you and ask you questions, having read the book and your own experience with forgiveness.
Can you tell us your webpage and how people can get hold of you and your book before you get off?
I'm at forgivenessoptions.com.
Okay, forgivenessoptions.com.
Right, and that word options has been there for a reason, because we have choices. We don't have to forgive.
Okay.
Forgivenessoptions.com. You can contact me by pushing my email button on the website as well. And, of course, you can go to Amazon.com, and you'll find commentaries there about the book, and you can order it there. You can order it through your local bookstore, or there's also a place on my website, forgivenessoptions.com, that gives you a box number where you can order directly from me to get a signed copy, also with a voucher for a reduced rate consultation if there is stuff in the book that you'd like to talk about further.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful opportunity. I know you sent me one of those coupons, too.
Well, I hope you'll tell your listeners about it. And I'm just heartsick that I do have to go because, well, I don't have to go. I got maybe 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. When you said you had a call coming in, I had no idea it was another radio show.
Yeah, it's another radio show. And this is the first time this has happened to me, and I'm sorry. And they're supposed to call me at 2:45 my time.
Okay.
Your time. So we still have a few more minutes.
Well, what Marilyn, is something you'd like to cover that we, I have a lot more questions, but you probably know what you want to say.
Well, let me read this quote from the business manager at my church. It has to do with people who think they must forgive.
Yes.
And he says, written just for me.
Okay.
After reading just the first chapter, I realized how much I've been punishing myself with my need to immediately forgive others. Now I realize I have to go through the process, just like mourning. And he ended up buying seven copies for people, including his wife.
Ooh.
Because he made the point that you made, that once you have this, you want to keep it to work with. You don't want to give it away.
Exactly.
You want to share it with others by telling them about it, but not by giving it to them.
Well, I also, and I think that's interesting, he mentioned the grief process, because I have made two huge forgiveness, acts of forgiveness in the last couple of weeks, and I have been going through great grief, even some physical grief and mental exertion just sapped my energy. It's really, this is a process.
It is a process, and part of the process is to separate out our grief from our anger. And to separate out the grief process from the forgiveness process. I mean, there is a process that we go through in grieving, and it's not necessarily the same as the forgiveness process. There's an example in my book, which you may recall reading, of a guy whose 21-year-old daughter was killed when her boyfriend, driving drunk, ran into a tree.
Yes, I remember that.
And he realized that he wasn't doing his daughter's memory any good by continuing to be angry. And so he said, okay, I'm going to mourn my daughter, but I'm also going to work on forgiving the guy who drove the car. And by the way, one of the things that he did in that process was to say, there but for the grace of God, go I.
I think that's a wonderful way to be able to end your point here today, because I think that was the point I was trying to make, is sometimes there's a bigger picture, and by the grace of God, I could have been in those very circumstances.
That's right.
And hopefully,
and
I can
I'm really sorry to be the one to say goodbye.
Well, I've enjoyed it so much, Dr. Mona, that maybe we can have you on again. This has been kind of a shorter visit than I expected, and I wish you well on your next interview.
Thank you, and I'd love to be able to do it again and to know that it's going to be an hour. It's quite different from the 5 minutes to 30 that they told me it would be. So,
well, I'm sorry.
It's been wonderful talking with you, Marilyn.
Their misinformation. I don't know why they've had other people on here with me, and they knew it was an hour. So there obviously was a miscommunication.
Yep. Well, and we have to look at everybody's point of view, don't we?
That's what it's about.
So, Marilyn, thanks, and I'd love it if you invite me back.
Oh, we'll look forward to doing that. And have a wonderful day, and do well on your next one.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being with us.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to Marilyn Solutions. We've had a real unusual experience today. Our wonderful guest was double booked, and she didn't know it. I didn't know it. And when they affirmed with me yesterday on the phone through the place I found out about Dr. Affinito, that was not mentioned as far as the length of her interview. So I want to apologize that for you that are so interested in forgiveness today, and her wonderful book. I still have her copy of her book here, and you can have your free copy by still calling in. We're not going to keep you from having that wonderful book if you really would like it, so you can still call today. There's time. We have open lines. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. As I said when she was here, I do think this is a lifelong book that will get very used over the time. I know it's so easy to have rent-free space in our brain going out to those people where we really would like to get on in lifetimes, our experiences fun and joy in life and leave behind the pain and the sorrow and the trauma, whatever the experience was that you need to forgive. And in forgiving ourselves also, we didn't really get too much into that with Dr. Affinito, but I have learned to forgive myself. And in doing that, I have learned quite a few things that I, since we have a few minutes here today, help you with and share with you some of my experiences and wisdoms in learning from forgiveness. Before we do, I would like to remind you I'll be on television July 30th at 3:30, Channel 77, on a program called Ascending with Angels with Bob Turner, a fun show. I hope you can catch that. And be sure and tell Social Treatment Opportunity Programs that you heard them on the air and are interested in getting to one of their offices in Western Washington. They'll be glad to help you out. We are always hoping that people will sponsor this show. If you have a message you're trying to get out there at a reasonable cost, cheaper than newspaper or Seattle radio, we really have an opportunity that is a very reasonable cost and even provide a free commercial for you. So do call in if you're interested, 253-845-4907, and get your message out on KLAY 8 times a week, and people from all different times of the day will hear your message, and you will get your message out as far south as Olympia, up into Seattle, and over to Bremerton, besides Pierce County. So it's a really large area to contact and get that message out there. Hope to hear from you. Well, back to some of the reasons sometimes we need to forgive. If you aren't aware that sometimes abuse gets to the point of domestic violence, as some of you have heard on our show, we've had some programs on domestic violence. Some people don't understand just forgiveness doesn't work necessarily in that situation. There's more to it. It's very complex. In fact, domestic violence is a disease. It's part of addiction, and it's a very severe part of addiction because it does not just affect your spirit as many addictions do. Domestic violence also affects your soul. And I know from experience my soul really was not functioning. And because of that, I was kept victimized. And in the process of being in that experience, I have learned a great deal of what to do differently. I have learned a lot about what this addiction is, how it works, the dynamics of it, and how to help people overcome being in that situation. And oftentimes, men are just as much a part of domestic violence as the women, and sometimes everyone thinks it's only the men. But it takes two to tango, and both people need to look through the situation and find out what is really going on. It's not just a learned behavior, but we are needing to add to our lives those things that are missing. Why are we so needy? Why are we doing these things over and over and getting different results that we really want? And we really want good results, but we don't always know what's going on. Sometimes there's a medical situation that needs to be addressed and can't be addressed throughout all the abuse. So when the abuse finally comes to us, Dr. Affinito says you have to make the decision. Well, when you start to realize, I have a decision to make, I want to get well, then there's some solutions and some answers that we can start to address and look at. And I came across a really good, helpful thing. I don't know if all of you out there are aware of, but sometimes affirmations I've found to be extremely, extremely helpful. In trying to forgive others, I had to build my own self-esteem strong enough that I could do it. I was not loving myself, and I didn't think anybody else ever would really love me either. And so that lack of power in my life, that lack of self-love, being able to function in a way that a lot of people do function, I've had to change and grow into saying I deserve a better way of life. I do not deserve being in a disease that is hurting me and will eventually kill me. In fact, there were several times when I thought that could happen, literally, and it scared me to death. And I guess I was scared to death enough to say, I really want to live. And when we come to those kinds of decisions and saying, all this stuff is up in my head and it's hurting me, what can I put in my head and my heart that will help me? And then forgiveness comes to become a little easier when I start to gradually love myself. And in doing that, affirmations really, really help. If you have any concerns or questions about recovery and getting ourselves in a place where we can forgive, you are welcome to call in, too. We still have those open lines. But some of the affirmations I've learned to use are, I approve of all my actions. And before, my actions were just kind of rote, and they weren't really with purpose, and they were just kind of following in a numb way whatever I seemed to fall into, and it wasn't really a decisive thing. So today I tell myself I approve of all my actions, and I try to be able to have actions today that I can approve of. I don't put myself in places to be hurt today or around people that are hurtful, and therefore forgiveness isn't as big a problem today as it used to be. So I've put myself in a better situation with that affirmation. Another one is, I am confident in my ability. And that's very, very important. When I have my power of who I am and what I'm doing and see myself through positive eyes, I have enough power in my life then to be able to forgive someone else. If I'm confident of what's going on with me, then I can allow you to be confident with yourself too. I don't have to have power over you in any way that is a game. I can see you as another loving human being, possibly made a mistake, possibly didn't understand the whole picture, possibly your experience was different than mine, and you're just coming from a whole different set of rules, so to speak. So I can be confident in my ability. That's perfectly fine. And I can allow you to be confident in yours. And when I have that confidence, there's a strength inside that gives me the ability to be myself. And I found that to be very helpful. Another affirmation that you might enjoy is, I give myself pleasure without guilt. Now, Mona was talking about guilt from the churches, and they know how to do that so well. And, you know, I'm still working out how to have fun in my life and not feel guilty. I was raised the Puritan ethic. You do your work first, and then you have fun. But, you know, in my household growing up, the fun never did seem to appear. There was always the work, a little bit more here, got to finish this one first. There's always more to do. Oh, you're looking up at the clouds. Well, we'll find something for you to do. So the guilt was always there, and enjoying life today is so important. It's really what God has us here for. We're to enjoy, and we're not supposed to feel guilty about that. We are his companions, and to have fun. And I was off playing golf in the sun yesterday. Now, I had some other things I should have been doing, but I don't should myself today. I said, hey, this is summer. The weather's great. I've got an offer to go play golf. Why not just go and enjoy myself? And I didn't feel too well when I started playing golf yesterday. But, you know, by the end of the day, all that other stuff disappeared, and I'd had a great time because I actually played better than some days. I'm not the greatest golfer, but I had improved yesterday, and that was good. And one of the problems we have, too, is I had to learn this affirmation for myself. I love my body and see only its good qualities. You know, so many of us have diet problems or overweight. We seem to see our flaws much even more so than others, possibly, and to love ourselves as we truly are. And our physical bodies are a gift that holds our spirit, and to take good care of it and to love it. And I know that the more I do love my body and see only its good qualities, the better off I seem to enjoy my life. I'm more satisfied. And I think that when we are happier, there's probably less forgiveness needs to go on, because we're just not in a space where that's a part of our lives like it, in my case, used to be. I can live and let live today. That other person, if they have problems, I'm sorry for them. I feel sad sometimes that people have had to strike out from their weaknesses, insecurities, or to feel they have to hurt somebody. But I don't today have to let that bother me like it used to. I can say, yes, they're hurting, I understand, and be compassionate about it. So I give myself what I want and feel I deserve it. And that's one of the affirmations that's helped me tremendously, to give myself what I want. I don't have to try to demand it from you, hurt you or whatever, so that you might have to come to some point where you have to forgive me. I really don't like to be that kind of person today, to be so needy that I am in somebody's face in an inappropriate way. And so I don't want people to do that to me either. Part of my forgiveness today is to be as kind to somebody else, because that's what I want back. And then forgiveness isn't even an issue. So yesterday I was given a nice compliment about that, which I appreciate. I guess I am learning. And when I give myself like a chance to take an afternoon off and go golf, or one of my other hobbies is painting, and I hope to be able to paint today, that's usually something that kind of brings some energy back into my life. And then I do feel good because I haven't deprived myself, and I'm not saying you're depriving me either, and I'm not making a bigger issue out of it because I haven't learned how to take care of myself. And forgiveness so often comes from somebody say, well, you owe this to me, or this is mine. There's greediness sometimes involved. Sometimes people are just don't even know they've done it. It's, you never know what's going on with the other person. But you can take good care of yourself. You don't have to let them interfere with your life if you don't choose to let that happen. And I've had to grow into learning that to forgive myself for some of the foolish things I did. I just didn't even know better. For many years, I hate to say this, but I was pretty ignorant. And as I've learned and grown, and like I said with Mona, you know, through forgiveness, I've learned a lot about myself. And I know today better how to look at these situations in a more rational way. One of the things I was going to bring up with her was when we have our vengeance or want to punish or some of that kinds of things. Today I see that as coming from my human instincts, you know, to get back. And I like to take it as my friend took me out to lunch Monday for my birthday. And she says, well, Marilyn, you took the higher road. And I thought, wow, that was a nice way to put it in one of my current forgiveness decisions recently. She mentioned that I took the high road. And I had never thought of it that way. But I do know forgiveness is a more spiritual way to handle it. And the results tend to flow into a peace of mind that to me is more important than getting even or treating you in a bad way because you treated me poorly. You know, what goes around comes around, and if I forgive you, then I am forgiven. And that seems to take a lot of the sting out of it, brings to me the happiness I've always wanted in life in the first place. So to me, forgiveness, through working through all the things in the book that Mona wrote, When to Forgive, actually brings me into a better way of living than where I was before. And all that rent-free space I put out to the problem for eons in time and kept me unhappy really can leave. I don't need it up there today, and I can allow myself to win. And that was another affirmation I use. I let myself win. And in doing that, I'm going to be heading for Europe in September. So that's my big surprise and gift to myself. Well, forgive yourself, forgive your friends if that seems right and appropriate and you've worked through it. And we want to thank you for being here with our little dilemma today with Dr. Mona Gustafson-Effinito. Had to leave us. We're sorry about that. But please stay tuned for next week when we find out about failure, and hopefully we'll have the whole hour with him. And you too can sponsor this program. So for a nominal fee, call 253-845-4907. Enjoy the sun and do something good for yourself. And hopefully you'll come to the right decisions. Enjoy life and let it just happen the way it's supposed to. It's not always my way, but it's usually the way it needs to be. And I'll have to accept it for today. So we'll see you next week on Wednesday at noon. Solutions with Marilyn. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Marilyn Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.